I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Memo. It is Thursday, January 7th, 2016. I had to write a check yesterday, Derek, and I remembered to put 16 instead of 15.
You still write checks?
Occasionally, I'm forced to, yes.
You're forced to? Somebody holds a gun to your head and write the check?
It's just the easiest way sometimes.
To get out of a hostage situation?
Got to mail a check to somebody. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so, hey, that's Derek Russell. I'm Brad Locke, which you probably heard in the intro, but just to remind you.
I've seen a lot of good jokes about writing checks, about writing the wrong years in checks since the first.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, people writing like 1776. Like, oh, I'm always writing the wrong.
Been doing down. That for 200-something years. I can't get it straight.
I think it was a New Yorker cartoon where a guy in a toga was at the bank, and he's like, I keep writing BC on all the checks. Yeah. It's the same joke every year.
Yeah, it's still funny.
It's fine. It is 2016, though. Did you make any resolutions?
Nah, I don't do that.
I don't do that either.
I got my wife. We go to St. Louis to my in-laws every year for around Christmas. And one year we're
like it's St. Luke, but I see what you did.
Yeah, we'll get to St. Luke. We sometimes we're there for New Year's, and one year, several years ago, we were all supposed to be making. Writing down New Year's resolutions, and I was like, I don't do resolutions. They all kind of got mad at me.
I doodled.
They got mad at me.
I don't do that it's either. Like, What's the point?
A, I'm probably not going to keep them.
B, January 1st feels no different to me than December 31st.
It's another day on the calendar. Yeah. I'm just going to...
It's just a different calendar.
If I want to change something,
unless
I'll change
one of those 18-month calendars, and then it happens to be the same calendar.
Yeah, I mean, I gave
until
up...
Until June.
Yeah.
I gave
and
up...
And then it's weird, and it,
I gave up soda.
Chinese New Year.
I gave up soda 3 years ago in August. Okay, I didn't have to wait till January to do
yeah,
that.
I just quit cold turkey.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah,
I don't miss it.
What are we talking about?
Soda.
Oh yeah, I gave that up a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's I did have one the other day here because I needed something.
Yeah,
and there was no coffee.
Yeah, that's tough.
And I had a Coke, and I immediately regretted it.
Yeah, that stuff's no good.
Hi. We've kind of drowned off from our original roundabout of resolutions.
Oh,
something
yeah,
we probably should have talked about like on Monday.
If I were to make a resolution, episode, I don't know what it would be. I don't know. Last year I started working out a lot in January, but that was kind of coincidence. It wasn't because, hey, new year, I'm going to start going to the gym.
Was,
it just
Brad,
kind of worked
sure,
out that way.
Sure.
That's what everybody at the gym says.
And I've kept that one. See, if I'd made that a resolution, I probably wouldn't have kept
everybody
it.
Everybody just showed up at the same time like, what a coincidence.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of new faces at the gym this past week.
Of course. Don't go to the gym in January.
Nah.
That's the what's the bad part is here, that's when it gets cold is January. It's not really cold in December, but in January it gets cold, so you can't go run outside or anything.
Well, which I don't do anyway.
Well, I do.
Hey, but you know what a great thing to do is while you're keeping your new working out resolution at the gym?
What?
Listen to The Memo.
That's right.
This is true.
You can listen to us as you're jogging on the treadmill.
Let's make that your resolution for the year, Brad. Listen to The Memo.
Doing some sumo squats or some...
what'd you call me?
Leg curls or...
what?
Some skull crushers.
What?
I'm just going through all these.
Sound like threats. I feel very threatened by you right now.
It's just names
I mean,
of
I could
workouts.
Take you, but I'm shorter than you. I could move faster.
Maybe.
You got all that extra headroom up there.
Like Creed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Creed. First thing, you said Creed, and the first thing I thought of was the band. Yeah. What does that say about me?
It's Joe Rutherford again.
Hey, Joe. I have Creed on my iPod. Is that bad?
The band?
Yes.
No.
Their early stuff's okay.
I have the Creed soundtrack on my iPhone.
Oh, okay. Is it good? Does Creed play on it?
Better than Creed, the band. No, sadly, Creed does not.
I think they've broken up
Creed.
For good, haven't they?
I heard he was sleeping in a hotel.
Scott Stapp is like a crazy person.
Yeah.
So it's too bad for him.
Yeah. Let's hope Nickelback goes the same way as Creed.
Seriously. Why won't they? They won't go away.
I thought you were about this is where you were like, I like Nickelback. And
no, I do not like Nickelback.
Like, goodbye. I'm leaving. Just throwing the mic.
Nickelback's been around for what, like 15 years? How have they not just gone away?
They've been around longer than that.
Maybe so. I remember first hearing them in the early 2000s.
I remember them on the Spider-Man soundtrack.
Yeah, wasn't that around 2000?
It was like 99, yeah. Yeah, but I think they've been around longer than that, is what I'm saying.
Wow.
That's just how far back my horrible memory of Nickelback goes.
I don't know. Yeah.
You're on with the Nickelback podcast.
just talk music the whole time. We are going to talk movies later on, though. We've got Scott Morris on the show.
Tis Thursday.
It is. We're going to talk about the scene section with you.
Yes.
We're going to talk about St. Luke.
Not St. Louis.
No, St. Luke.
St. Luke.
Church is just about rebuilt, soon to reopen after the tornado damage. William Moore is going to be in here to talk about those committee positions the mayor's trying to fill.
Fire it off, Bradlock.
All right. Let's do this. First up on the show is Zach Orsborn. Welcome back, Zach.
Thank you. How are you?
Not doing too bad. How are you? Get the sniffles?
Got the sniffles for sure.
Don't
it's that time of the year.
Don't sneeze on the mic.
I'll try not to.
Yeah, we'll make it through. Hey, you had a story in today's journal about St. Luke United Methodist Church, which is a lot of people know was hit hard by that tornado back in 2014. In fact, I remember watching the video. I don't know if y'all have seen it, but the video of the tornado coming through. I remember the shot of the playground, the trees just suddenly, bam, falling over. It's crazy. And so they sustained heavy damage at the church, but they $3 million worth, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$3 million.
But they raised the money, and they've got it built back up, and it's looking like it's going to open on Easter.
Yeah. They hope to have it open by March.
Yeah.
They've had construction for a while because they started right after the tornado, and that was almost 2 years ago. But they're finally... They're working on the sanctuary, the fellowship hall. They're going to add a new stage in the fellowship hall. There's going to be a coffee shop, state of art kitchen, and then in the sanctuary, like when you come into the front in the center, there's a there's going to be a new stained glass window, kind of depicting visuals of the tornado with some Bible verses about weathering the storm and kind of some inspirational stuff to show they got through it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Purposely symbolic there with the messages about weathering a storm and all that. You talked with the Reverend Rick Brooks of St. Luke. He talked a bit about how the community kind of came together. A little bit in what ways did they find some help from the community there?
Well, one of the ways they raised money was one of the stained glasses in the sanctuary got knocked out by the tornado.
Yeah.
So a craftswoman came in, got pieces from this stained glass and made necklaces, and they sold those, and they raised about thousands of dollars. And they lost a lot of Sunday school educational classrooms, so they had to go to different churches to do that. And some churches opened their doors, and they continue the preschool program at St. James Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So the community was really open to them.
How difficult was it for them to raise that much money? Again, $3 million in damage, and I know they started a capital campaign. And it seems like the church members really kind of came through, didn't they?
Yeah, most of the funds came from the church members. They raised a significant portion for reconstruction, and of course had insurance money for that too.
True. Okay. So it's supposed to open around March in time for Easter. I mean, how much is really left to do now?
When I walked through it, it was kind of still like a shell. The walls were still had the metal bars and, so they should be able to finish it in about 3 months because when I went there yesterday, there was a bunch of people working on electricity, heating and cooling and stuff like that. And I think they're about finishing up the kitchen.
Okay. Good deal. Y'all can read about it in today's journal and at djournal.com, St. Luke United Methodist Church rising from the ashes, so to speak. Zach, good stuff. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Need to remind y'all about a couple of other podcasts we have going on. If you're a sports fan, check out Double Coverage. Got a new episode with Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford dropping this afternoon, talking Ole Miss and MSU sports. You can listen on iTunes, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. And also, if you're a fan of high school sports, Prep Rally got a new episode that we uploaded yesterday with myself and Gene Phelps. You can listen on iTunes, your podcast apps, or preprally.djournal.com. Check them out.
William Moore joining us now. William wears many hats here at the Daily Journal until his replacement gets here, I guess.
Next week.
We'll throw a party for you.
Well, he's not leaving.
No, his part-time replacement. I don't know how to word it. You've been filling in for other replacements, and that replacement is soon to be here.
Yes.
How does that
I'll,
make
I'll
sense?
Get to go back to my normal job.
There you go. Your normal
just my
job.
Normal job.
But in the meantime, you had a story in today's paper about city committee slots and recommendations from Mayor Shelton, appointments for those slots. Tell us a little bit about each... where the Public of Tupelo fills in on these places.
Well, the city has 16 different volunteer boards, boards, some are commissions, authorities. They have different names. They have different authoritative powers,
right,
depending on the board. And the mayor was looking back into last year and noticed there were about 30 different slots where either there was a vacancy or the person in there, their term had expired. So he was trying to basically clean it up, bring some new people in, mm-hmm, and the folks that are already on there, instead of just, you know, kicking them to the curb, inviting them to move over to another board. Say if they've already been on the planning committee and they've served their two terms there, they could move over to like the historic preservation, quality of life committee, some other committee. They can continue serving the city, mm-hmm, but he's just trying to make sure each different committee has new ideas moving through and try to keep them all fresh.
Refresh everything in some new capacity.
And he'd already handled a couple of the changes. And then Tuesday night, he made a block of 13 new appointments. Some are reappointments, some are new folks, mm-hmm, to help start the process of cleaning up.
Right.
And updating the committees. And, you know, and he's still got another about 13 left to go. And they're still, you know, actively looking for people. You know, if somebody wants to help the city, they're always looking for names. You know, even if, you know, you can't help on the committee you would like to, mm-hmm, they'd still like to have your name because there are other things that do come up there, festivals and different activities the city has on a regular basis. They're always looking for folks that are willing to volunteer.
Yeah. So you've got, as you mentioned, Quality of Life, the Coliseum Commission, which covers Bancorp South Arena. What are some of the other instances like, we've got?
The Airport Authority, Coliseum Commission, Convention Visitors Bureau Board, the Historic Preservation Committee, Major Thoroughfare Program, mm-hmm, which will be in the news a lot come next spring when we have another election or a referendum coming up. The Orrin Dunn Museum, mm-hmm, there's actually 4 slots open right now for that board. The Planning Committee, Quality of Life, which had 5 vacancies, they filled all 5 Tuesday night. Tupelo Redevelopment Authority, which helps oversee Fair Park.
Right.
The school board, which is a very important job,
yes,
to have.
Yeah.
And then the Tupelo Housing Authority.
Yeah. So you've got about 16 altogether between the commissions,
right,
and committees that do this work behind,
right,
the scenes.
And then on top of that, there's, you know, if folks are willing to help their additional task forces that are just go along with the mayor's term in office that help, you know, bring citizen input into the city,
right,
as well.
It's all about bridging that gap.
Right. I mean, basically, it's one of those things where, you know, they want to know what's going on in the city. And, you know, just sitting over there in City Hall, you don't always get a feel for what's going on in the neighborhood. That's why they're trying to get people to...
You want that input.
Step up and, you know, if you're not willing to volunteer, at least to help, just,
right,
to tell them what's going on.
Right, right. Somebody did want to, you mentioned 13 spots left available. If somebody did want to do this, what would somebody need to do?
I mean, basically, they can just email the mayor. Mm-hmm. You can go to tupelo.ms.gov, I mean, it's the city's website. Click on the mayor's picture, and it's got a link to his email. Just say, Jason, I want to help.
Yeah.
Or I'm willing to help. Here's the kind of things I'd like to do. If you can find a slot for me, please do.
Okay, good deal. And you did have that email address in your story.
Emails Jason, at the end of the story.
Jason.Shelton@tupelo.ms.gov. It's not the mayor at mayor.gov or anything like that, just so nobody gets confused. I'll just email the mayor. Just start typing things into it. William, thanks for joining us.
Glad to.
Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Tupelo Public School District has named Anna Guntharp to fill the position of assistant superintendent. Guntharp will fill the spot of Diana Ezel, who is retiring at the end of the school year. She currently serves as director of federal programs and curriculum and will begin her new role on July 1st. Ezel has worked for the school district since 1979 and has been an assistant superintendent since 2006.
Mississippi ranked 50th in the nation in Education Week's annual Quality Counts report. The state ranked slightly behind New Mexico and above Nevada. The highest-ranked state was Massachusetts. The report did have some bright spots for Mississippi. It ranked 4th in the nation for kindergarten enrollment. It also exceeded the national average for preschool enrollment.
The United Way of Northeast Mississippi has surpassed its $2.5 million goal. The organization announced on Wednesday it has raised more than $2.65 million since July 1st. The funds will be distributed to local nonprofit agencies that provide health and human services across 7 counties.
Ole Miss will open its new basketball arena tonight. The 9,500-seat pavilion at Ole Miss costs $96.5 million. It will host the Ole Miss men's basketball game against Alabama tonight. Gates open at 6:30 with an honorary jump ball at 7:30. The game starts at 8 and it will also be televised by ESPNU.
Need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. It's Thursday, which means movie chat, movie talk, movie discussion, whatever you want to call it, with M. Scott Morris. Hello, Scott.
How about screen scene?
No, that's what it's called right there in the paper, screen scene.
Yeah, for like the last 1,000 years.
Screen scene with Scott Morris.
There you go.
So anyway, Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
Not too bad. We don't have an actual review this week, we have a look back at 2015, the best and worst of
even though we're in the 2016, but we're kind of lazy, so we're looking back now.
Yeah, it's only a week into it.
That's right.
It's fine.
One caveat before we do it. Is we see a movie a week, more or less. I mean, I may have missed like 3 weeks, other than I see a movie a week. But I don't see 3 and 4 movies a week because I'm not a full-time movie reviewer.
Right.
So we're judging by what we saw. There might be some other movies out there, like some friends of mine had like Creed and other movies that I just didn't see.
Right, right.
All
right.
So I like to let's begin with the bad movies.
Okay. And I'm going to have to take your word on it. I didn't see many movies this year.
All right. But one of them you should not see.
Uh-huh.
The first one you should not see.
Uh-huh.
Of all the ones you should not see, the first one is Jupiter Ascending.
Even with Mila Kunis in it?
I enjoy myself some Mila Kunis.
I mean, it's at least paying admission just to ogle her, maybe? I don't know.
It was such a horrible movie.
Really?
The same people, the Wachowskis, who made the Matrix series,
right?
They did this, and it was they tried to somehow have style triumph over substance, but style just kind of kicked it in the stomach, but it wasn't even that stylish. It was just the way it looked was the whole thing about the movie, and just too many stupid parts.
Yeah,
and Channing Tatum. People like Channing Tatum.
I don't.
He was horrible in this.
He's the guy. People don't always understand what I'm saying, but Channing Tatum doesn't really have a face. I mean, he has a face, but it's like non-distinct.
See, right
he
now
reminds me. He reminds me. You know, the if you play the Wii, you have the Mii characters. Uh-huh. That's what he looks like.
Right now, there are 4 people in this room, and Brad's one of them. He's looking around going, do you understand? You follow me? And everyone's going, no, we don't.
Yeah, we don't.
You don't have a face.
He's like, you see his face, and then you immediately forget it.
There's a big underground. Women would beg to differ with you, Brad.
If he didn't have the abs, he'd just be another dude.
There's a big underground following that if you watch the movie as a comedy, if you go into it thinking it's a comedy, you have a great time.
Hey, maybe so. There's all kinds of that kind of stuff, but yeah.
What other movies sucked this year, Scott?
Fantastic Four.
Yes.
They tried to reboot it, wanted to make a new set of superheroes going on, and
the first one wasn't that good. Back 10 years ago, whenever it came out.
Yeah, but it wasn't that bad. It was entertaining. This one, it was just kind of, there's just too much stupidity. I mean, when you're suspending belief to accept that people can become rubbery and that they can disappear at will and they can become like set themselves on fire and fly.
Yeah.
I mean, other things have to make sense. Certain logical steps seem to make sense. And to me, even at the very ending, you're about ready to go and they just kind of hand these 4 people control over a big old, their own facility.
Yeah.
Like, the whole movie's like that. Just stupid stuff about it.
Is this just part of a problem in Hollywood where the reboots are getting closer and closer together on these things like Spider-Man franchise, Batman? Such a quick turnaround on the reboots that I don't.
You know, my thinking again, like we talked about, who should be the next Bond, and I'm like, if you can write something and you can make something that's good to watch, I don't care where it came from, because there's so many things that people come up with weird ideas that work.
Yeah.
And so if your idea is you could do a better job at making Spider-Man, certainly give it a shot.
Yeah.
But so far they haven't done it, and they didn't do it this time with Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Although Bond's a kind of a different animal. There was a new Bond movie. I don't think that's included in your story.
No, it's not.
But did you see it?
I did see it. Was we it talked good? About it. You and
yeah,
I.
Yeah, we did.
In this very room.
It's pretty good.
It was pretty. I actually found it to be less than good. It was kind of a kind of a whimper of the Daniel Craig era. Like the last one, had he stopped with the last one, he would have knocked it out of the park.
Okay. Because
that one had some more depth to it. This was just old fashioned surface level Bond, which you seem to enjoy.
I do.
I prefer a little bit of depth.
Okay. I like them all. They're all pretty good.
My third bad one, the one that this is my least bad, my D minus, as opposed to my two Fs,
right,
was Hot Pursuit. It was a buddy comedy with Reese
Witherspoon.
There you go, Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara.
Mm.
And one was a cop, one was a criminal, and they were going across. It just, all you had to do was pick up a cell phone and call somebody and solve this problem in the first 5 minutes of the movie. They didn't do that, and so we just had to sit there for an hour and a half and watch it be dumb for a while.
That's the problem with cell phones and the internet these days. It ruins a lot of movie plots.
That's true. You could just make a call and fix things. Everything should be set by like in 1985.
Yeah.
But then you're stuck with all that same music.
I can't find a payphone.
That's Die Hard would not have worked by today's standards.
No, it's just me calling. Yeah. Oh, there's E.T. You got to go home. That worked, the phone home part. That would have been.
Yeah.
You didn't need that there.
Unless you run out of minutes.
Yeah.
Sure.
So on my good side.
On the good side. Good movies.
On the good side. I realized that they're all kind of. Star Wars.
Yeah.
I believe that I could be looking back at Star Wars in a year or a couple of months and thinking, what was I thinking to give it my favorite of the year? But what I was thinking was the experience I had in the theater at 10 o'clock at night on opening day with my family, with everybody else in that theater and watching that film,
yeah.
I haven't had that much fun in a theater in a long, long time.
So you would say maybe it's not necessarily the best movie of the year, but definitely the most fun.
You tell what, maybe not the best movie, but the best cinematic experience.
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
So maybe not the best made picture, but definitely one that, here's also, if I could pay and have my memory wiped and go see it again, I'd consider it. It would depend on how, I would have it done on Chris Kiefer first, see how he came out afterward. And then after that, and then I'd judge from there.
So Chris is the test monkey.
It would depend on
scenario.
How much it costs and how Chris Kiefer, if he could walk in straight line afterward and all that kind of stuff.
What else did you like?
Love The Martian.
Yeah.
The Martian was fantastic. The two most judicious and funny uses of the F word I've ever seen on film.
Really?
And I don't know. You don't go to see the use to get a PG-13. They can only use it two times.
Yeah.
And apparently in the book, you read the book, right? It's there. It's like the every other word, right? Yeah. Very much like Chris Kiefer talks all the time.
Yeah.
Chris
Kiefer, Catholic school.
You wonder why we only let him on for one or two sentences.
Yeah.
Rest of it's just bleeps and whistles.
He's in charge of the edit button, so that helps him out. But and just the story of, you know, if Hollywood wants to keep losing Matt Damon and then bringing him back, I'm fine with that as long as they're as good as this movie. This was a fantastic film.
Yeah.
I took the kids and they'd already heard that word from their mother and when Chris Kiefer visited.
Duh.
And so it was, they enjoyed it. It was just a fun time at the theaters.
Oh, goodness.
All right, third one is, I had a hard time on the third one, but we got Ant-Man, the DVD for Christmas. And I watched it again the other day before I picked it. It was among my top, one of my A grades for the year.
Yeah.
And that movie was just as entertaining the second time around. Funny, unexpectedly so. Paul Rudd, apparently like Edgar Wright was the director who started doing it. And I love Edgar Wright's work. And he has a certain visual style. And you can see that in this movie. But he got replaced. And I thought, oh, this is going to be bad. Mm-hmm. Just like with a lot of Marvel movies, I think that's going to be bad. Like I thought Guardians of the Galaxy would be bad. I thought this would be bad. This had a lot of reason to be bad.
Yeah.
And it was thoroughly enjoyable. The fight scene at the end is you get involved and then you laugh and then you get involved again. I mean, it captures you on a variety of levels. And one of the most clever climactic fight scenes of any movie in recent years, the way they did things. And I recommend it wholeheartedly. It's a family. They don't even use the F word. They stick with the S word.
Oh, that's good.
Only a couple of times.
Okay.
But not all that judicious.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't deserve for that to be as good as it was.
Exactly. I mean, it could have gone off the rails in any number of ways, and they put together this team of of filmmakers who weren't all working together made a really good film.
Yeah, well, and the cast too. I mean,
Douglas.
No, I do love Michael Douglas. Michael Pena.
Pena
was hilarious.
He was hilarious in this way you don't expect. It just kind of builds.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, and you watch it once and it's funny. It's all good out. Watch it again 6 months later, just as funny. Hilarious. And actually funny just to think about. Ha ha ha. Honorable mention, Inside Out. Loved that movie. It was Pixar. It was great.
But
I had to go with Ant-Man. And it was hard to make that decision. But Inside Out was number 4 on my really top good movies for the year.
Okay.
But that's it. Now we're going to start working toward 2016's hits and misses. So we'll probably do a week into 2017.
What are you going to watch for next week? What are
you going to see? That has yet to be decided, but it's probably going to be The Revenant.
Okay, yeah, that looks interesting. I want to see that one.
Well, I'm not sure. That's probably going to be one we see, though.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all can read Scott's story in today's journal at djournal.com. Thank you, Scott.
Hey, glad to make this podcast great again.
Thank you. Hey, the Daily Journal is inviting filmmakers to participate in its new Entertain Us Movie Contest. It's open to anyone, and video submissions can run from anywhere from 1 second to 5 minutes, and they can be shot on an iPhone, camcorder, iPad, any device, a flip camera, if you actually still have one of those. Videos will go head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, and viewers will vote for their favorites. So, yeah, bracket-style, like the NCAA tournament. Participants should upload their video to YouTube and email the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. That's entertainus@journalinc.com. Registration is now open and will continue until 11:59 p.m. on January the 20th, and there is no registration fee. The ultimate Entertain Us winner will get a personalized director's chair and a director's slate. And that winner is expected to be crowned around Oscars weekend. When is Oscars weekend, Derek?
February or March, depending on when they set it.
They haven't said it yet?
Well,
it's the last weekend of February. I think it's the 28th, if that's a Saturday.
Okay. Good deal. So, yeah, January the 20th. That's coming up pretty quick, less than 2 weeks. For the deadline.
There is a February 29th this year.
There sure is. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandfather passed away several years ago, was born on February 29th.
So he was the ripe age of 12 when
he died. Yes, he died as a teenager. No. So anyway, speaking of entertaining people, what's going to be going on this weekend that's entertaining, Derek?
Well, it's Elvis's 81st birthday.
No, it is. That's tomorrow,
isn't it? He wasn't born on a leap year, so he gets to be 81.
Is he showing up to the party?
Even though he's dead. Well, yeah, maybe at Graceland.
Yeah.
You can watch him walk right in.
That's right. You sure can.
Mm-hmm.
Right past the security guards.
10 feet off of Beale.
Yeah.
So that is tomorrow. Of course, activities going on all day at the birthplace. You can actually go tour the birthplace for free tomorrow.
Oh,
free tickets from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Also, the birthday cake cutting is at 1 p.m.
Okay.
Tomorrow. So don't want to miss that. This weekend, you get a doubleheader at the Link Center on Saturday night. 1992 recording artist of the year from the CMAs, Billy Dean.
Billy Dean is still
Billy Dean
banging around.
He's
wow,
performing at the Link Center.
Yeah, I liked some of his stuff back then.
Well,
I've got my 90s country collection is embarrassingly
for
large.
$25, you can see Billy Dean up close and personal.
Billy the Kid, that was a good song.
That I wouldn't know. I don't listen to country. And then also at Link Center.
Remember, I was a 90s country DJ for a short time.
Yeah, so. In your black denim. And then West of Shake Rack. On Saturday night, improv comedy as well at the Link Center. So that's some stuff going on this weekend.
You had some other stuff in the...
I always have got stuff to talk about,
paper.
Brad. Sumida Pottery.
This looks interesting. This exhibit at the Gumtree Museum of Art next week.
It is a Japanese pottery. Mm-hmm. It was exclusively made in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Hmm.
Going to have 37 different pieces on display. On loan from the Orr O'Keefe Museum of Art in Biloxi. It is going to be here through March. So, also a bonsai garden will be there as well. Opening reception for this is going to be next Thursday night on the 14th with a Southern Asian fusion cuisine courtesy of Kermit's Outlaw Kitchen.
Sounds yummy.
And the I say it wrong every time. Hold, please. Taikyo? Tampa Tycho.
Yeah, the drummers.
Tampa Tycho, the drummers, will be there as well.
I'd show up just for that.
There you go.
I'm an old drummer.
In your black denim.
Yeah.
The black denim drummers.
Yeah.
You guys getting together for a reunion?
What?
I heard Guns N' Roses is headlining Coachella.
Oh yeah, they're back. Or three of the five, I guess, or something like that.
Good for them. Good for them. They feel like it. Yeah. Did you read my column?
I sure did. That was funny.
Yeah.
It's what you get for trying to pay it forward. That's why you just can't do nice things for people. Just keep to yourself.
No good deed goes unpunished.
What happened?
You read my column. Find out.
I read it. But,
well, then you know what happened. It's called a cliffhanger. We leave the episode for something.
Read it in today's journal. Scene section.
It was New Year's Day. I was up here working. I thought I'd run and go get lunch for a minute. I ran to Burger King. The woman in front of me paid for, pay it forward type thing, paid for the meal behind her. I was like, oh, that's nice. I'll pay for the meal behind me. It'll be $42.89.
It was one guy.
One dude. I looked back to make sure it wasn't like a church bus or something I made the order.
That could have easily been me, because when I go pick up supper for my entire family.
And that's, I leaned on that, and I was good with it until he honked his horn at me. And then I was like, you
ungrateful little...
Just going to take my card back and slowly drive forward, waving at the guy in my rearview mirror. He was too busy looking at his phone. Anyway, my heart felt good. I hope he felt a little better when he got to the window.
God saw you.
Yeah, I'm not worried about God seeing me. The receipt. I wanted to know what I just paid for, but then I remembered that they put the receipt in the bag, so I didn't even get closure on it.
I don't think it's a tax write-off there.
It's not a tax write-off.
It's probably just a bunch of French fries.
I just wanted to know.
Nothing but fries.
That'd be 17 orders of fries. $42.89.
That'd be funny.
It's a bunch of chicken fries.
Chicken fries.
So it was an expensive Whopper that day, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's usually my allotment at Burger King in a year, $42.
I don't even go there anymore.
Yeah, that's, well, I thought it'd be easy on New Year's. Everybody would be out.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he thought, too.
Yeah, well. Tune in next week to hear Brad say. Probably. He says that a lot. All right, well, we will be back again on Monday, and I won't. You guys will be back.
Where are you going?
I'm about to pull a U and be gone for 3 weeks.
What?
No, that's just what you do.
I was gone for 10 days, thank you.
3 weeks, 10 days, who's counting?
It was not three
I'm
weeks.
I'm going to be gone to Disney for a little while. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah. Going to dress up as Chewbacca.
Going in January, so you beat the crowds.
Well, not many people there. Of course, it will be Martin Luther King weekend. So
okay. We went in July a few years ago.
That sounds like a bad idea.
It was a very bad idea.
Why would you do that?
It's hot.
Yeah.
And B, all the walking. Yeah. That's what after all that walking I did, I developed a bulging disc in my neck, and so that was a great reward.
Old age just hit you like a ton of bricks.
Sure did.
The only time I've been to Disney was like a week after the Atlanta 96 Olympics.
Oh, how would that go?
It was the worst time. Yeah. 3-hour waits for every ride.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah, theme parks and the like are not my thing.
Well. You guys hold down the fort while I'm gone. In the meantime,
we'll try.
Check out our stories online at djournal.com or in today's issue of your Daily Journal. You can also follow us on Twitter at djournalnow, and specifically for the memo, find out when new episodes are available at djournalmemo.
I'm on there at Brad Locke.
And I'm on there at W. Derek Russell. And Chris is on there at Chris Beekeeper. Sorry, couldn't resist. Of course, we're online, memo.djournal.com. You can find us wherever you find podcasts, iTunes, Satchel, things of that nature.
Yep.
Also, email us memo@journalinc.com with a C. And we'll see you guys next week.
See you then.